Hello, friends. Today is January 9th.
What we got?
I don't remember what stories. We have a lot of Apple stories this time.
This is business, social media, and design.
Oh, yeah. There's like two design stories.
Yes.
It's a very tiny section.
Oh, I just drank some water.
You inhaled it, really.
CES is happening. We don't have any CES news.
No. Apple, that'll be next week. We have a ton of Apple news this week, though. And it's not a good time for Apple.
Apple just lost to Facebook. The market value decline since peak exceeds the value of nearly any U.S. company. So the Apple has lost $452 billion off their market capitalization since October 3rd. Apple's overvalued. Who could have guessed? Certainly not level one.
Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet, and Berkshire Hathaway are the only companies that are bigger than Apple. And Apple used to be higher up in that list.
Not anymore.
Now they've fallen off.
Fallen hard.
And so, you know, you ask yourself,
how did this happen?
What's happened to Apple? How did they lose all this? And it's funny because the public, we talk about this a lot. Publicly, Apple didn't say this. But when they talk to their investors, that's when companies get honest.
Tim Cook, two investors from Motherboard. People bought fewer new iPhones because they repaired their old ones. Womp womp.
Not untrue. I would say that their pricing is all wrong. Having just got the iPad Pro, like, I was thinking about just getting the old one, but they didn't even reduce the prices on the old one when they released the new one. So it's like, what? Yeah. What are you doing? Like,
but I think
of course I'm not going to buy.
It factors into it the same way, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I could spend just a little bit of money and fix this thing and keep it limping along to avoid $1,000 cost.
Yeah.
Well, Apple also,
because they don't have like any medium tier sort of electronics.
They had their $30 battery repair program too, which, you know, Tim Cook was not really super specific. He just said that affects the bottom line. He also alluded to the political situation with the whole Huawei CFO thing in Canada. Like, he alluded to that, but I don't think he said that in those terms. But the Apple battery program gave Apple some cold, hard numbers on stuff, and it was not good for Apple in terms of, like, selling new devices. A lot of people were like, oh, yeah, my battery is crap. I can get a new battery. That was penance for the whole we're going to slow down old iPhones thing.
A battery program which, by the way, ended January 1st.
Yeah. So you can't get that anymore.
That was purely a test. They don't like what it showed them.
They've also asked Customs to step up enforcement of, you know, seizing counterfeit Apple batteries. So you can't have a battery that's for Apple. You can, like, they want Customs to seize batteries that are for Apple, not just Apple batteries. You see the difference there?
But it wasn't all bad news for Apple. They did have one really good week.
Yeah, Apple App Store breaks records. Customers spent $1.22 billion in 1 week. So from Christmas Eve to the day after New Year's, $1.22 billion. I think the banner day was New Year's Day. Everybody was off work, bored. Yeah, I'll spend some money on iTunes.
And they just got some devices for Christmas.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's not something. I mean, that's probably like the high mark for the year, don't you think?
I would think so.
Yeah, I would think so as well.
Still, it shows you that even though it sounds really bad, and yeah, they're losing a lot of market cap, they're still insanely profitable.
Yeah. It's like, oh, boo-hoo, people are repairing their iPhones. Whatever, we will dry our tears with $100
with money,
bills.
Yeah.
And also, maybe part of the problem that you could blame Apple's failure on is they've stopped innovating. They're just sort of, they're iterating at this point. And even when they have a really good new idea, they can't always follow through.
AirPower. Remember AirPower? Apple was like, we're going to wirelessly do all this stuff. AirPower officially misses the 2018 deadline. Apple is silent on its status. So you can wirelessly charge an iPhone 8 or newer, I think. But Apple had this idea for like an even better wireless charging system, and it hasn't come to fruition.
Well, Apple might have had a bad 2018, but you know who had a really good 2018? The world's richest man, Jeff Bezos.
Overlord Jeff Bezos.
And his idea to put spying devices into people's homes, you know, I got to admit, I didn't think that would catch on. Boy, was I wrong.
Amazon says they've sold 100 million Alexa devices. So what's next? Get to channel Dr. Evil. 100 million Alexas.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
I talked my mom out of getting one. I'm so proud of myself because she was like, maybe that is a spy device. And I was like, it kind of is, Mom.
Yeah. It's like, hey, Alexa, play back all the recordings you have of me.
They also talk about in an article how Amazon is being very hands-off on how third parties use Alexas. Of course, we saw the Alexa clock. I've seen several, when I was looking at houses, several newly built homes had Alexa just in the walls in every room.
Oh, she's in the walls, yeah. Listening to you sleep.
And some, now, Jeff Bezos, you know, world's richest man, powerful, evil, unstoppable. But there is one thorn in his paw.
That is the workforce?
Well, it's the unions.
The unions, yeah. Okay. So the headline here is, "We are not robots. Amazon warehouse employees push to unionize." Was this one in Spain?
No, this is the Minnesota one.
Oh, this is the Minnesota one. Okay. So yeah, in Minnesota, they were like, "We need to unionize." But when you talk to the Amazon people were like, this was overstated. This is, you know, we don't really need to unionize. There's a few people that want to unionize, but most people don't. It's basically fine. And these people are saying, we can't even go to the bathroom. And like, no matter how good we do, they set the bar a little higher for the following month. So we have to work at least that hard the following month, but a little bit harder even beyond that. Even when we're like, you know, kicking ass and taking names, they want more. And so it's like, we're not robots. You can't do that.
Also, not big fans, the fulfillment centers of heat and air conditioning.
It's not enough.
Look at this. It's like it was your big moment. The reporters are here to take a picture. This person signs upside down.
Oh. Doesn't bode well for your packages, does it?
Well, as you alluded, it was not just Minnesota that lashed out over the holidays at Amazon. Spain also took a stab.
Spain had a holiday called the Three Kings, so Amazon workers strike in Spain ahead of the Three Kings gift-giving. So apparently, the three wise men came from Spain, apparently, and so they give gifts on this anniversary of that, which is a little after Christmas.
I don't know. I don't know anything about this custom.
I don't think they all came from Spain, because they were kings.
Yeah.
They had to come from different locations, right?
Well, we're not going to get into that. I mean, it's fine.
Describe as wise men.
I don't know the lore.
But they went on strike, and so again, Amazon sort of downplayed what was happening here. But the media coverage from that area, it seemed like it was a very large group. At one point, they had a bonfire, and just, you know, and Amazon was like, no, that facility was operating as normal. Everything's good.
Yeah, but this, every time, especially in Europe, one of these big strikes happen, Amazon always says the same thing, which is, it's not a big deal. And it doesn't seem like the packages stop being delivered. So maybe they're right.
Maybe. How long before you think Jeff Bezos takes the corporate jet, flies out there, and is like, look, if you guys don't straighten up, you know, meet Rosie the robot. She's just going to replace all of you.
And murder you.
Not just replace, but wear your face around the warehouse.
It's like, you ever see the movie or read the book, The Stepford Wives? It's going to be like that, except it's going to be you guys with these packages.
I saw The Stepford Wives that came out like in the early 2000s. I think Nicole Kidman was in it. It was not good.
Was that
a remake?
Yeah, it was a remake.
I saw the one from like the 60s.
Yeah, this one is like a remake from the early 2000s.
I only knew the 2000s one. Well, this is an interesting story from Microsoft, and I can't decide how I feel about it, because it seems like maybe this is good for consumers, but it's Microsoft. How could it be?
We correctly guessed what it was, too. I'll point that out. It's like, level one was right again. ZDNet. It's like, Microsoft is privately testing Bali, a way to give users control of the data collected about them. Microsoft Research is going to provide users with access to their own personal data bank. And so, basically, the idea here is that as companies and healthcare providers and all these other people build a database about you, they would store that data in Bali, and then you could control it from then on out. But it requires people to voluntarily cooperate with it. So I think that's going to limit its success.
I don't think companies want to give people that power.
Well, can you imagine Facebook's like, here's your, like, not your Facebook data, but like the information derived from that. It's like, here's your data, and this is what we know about you, and this is what we conclude based on that data. People will be horrified.
And that's only valuable in aggregate. Like, your personal information is not going to be worth enough for you to bother with this.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, unless that's the only place they can get it. I don't know. It might be like you go into a Bitcoin mining. What do they call those things where you mine together?
A pool?
A pool. And you do like, okay, listen, everybody who works here at the Amazon Fulfillment Center, we're all going to sell our data together, and then we'll go to the Bermuda for a week, you know, in April.
That's when you learn that, like, the intelligence service runs Bali, and, like, some guys in suits show up, and they're like, look, if you see a package to this address, we want you to do this. We want you to insert this into the package. It's like, okay.
Ryan, are you trying to transition into the one story? I don't think, never mind, it's not, it's like way farther ahead. Never mind.
No, I'm just saying, like, your individual data is not going to be valuable on an individual level.
Yeah.
It's going to be a couple of bucks, yeah. And no one's going to care. Well, we've talked about, you know, one of the interesting things, you ever go back and look at those old, like, black and white movies from the 50s and 60s where it was like, the vision of the future. Or they had that Disney ride, The World of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And the one thing that nobody got right was user interface.
Yeah.
They had these amazing robots, but they were still those, like, giant analog push buttons.
Or the original Star Trek, where it's like, what is this console with all this stuff? This doesn't nothing's even make
labeled,
sense.
Yeah.
Of course, Next Generation did kind of get the touchscreen.
They got it right, yeah.
But nobody else ever got the touchscreen. Like, nobody knew that we were going to be touching a piece of glass. So it's hard to think of what comes next, but I could totally see this being it.
Google wins U.S. approval for a new radar-based motion sensor. Now, we did see a little bit of this in Star Trek, where they had a hologram on the table and they would spin it around by just gesturing in air. This is very similar to, like, the Magic Leap, which used infrared, except this uses radar, and so they can package this in, like, a cell phone, and you can, you know, do sort of the Magic Leap-style gestures, but even more higher resolution.
You could do, like, little tiny, you know,
yeah,
turn a dial or,
yeah,
you know, swipe through something.
The cool thing they talk about that I don't think I've ever thought about before is just using your own skin as the haptic feedback. So a slider, if you're trying to do a slider like this, it would be hard to be accurate. But if you're sliding against your own skin, the radar can pick that up and you can be very precise. So
how long before somebody makes a plug-in for Chrome that the downvote gesture for YouTube videos is playing the world's tiniest violin?
Oh, see, I would think you want, like,
how long until somebody,
aggressive, you know,
creates an interface where there's a slider that you desire to turn up, but some horrible person makes you touch them in order.
No.
How much of a tip would you like?
In order to mute this ad, show it to the person next to you.
Can you show it to a cat? That's the way you get around it. An animal.
Wow, cats would love that, wouldn't they? That'll make iPad cat apps so much more engaging for the cats. Well, we've talked about Amazon, we've talked about Apple, so of course we have to talk about Google. And
it's the end of the year. What happened with the taxes?
What do you do if you're Google at the end of the year? You stuff all of your cash into bags and you fly to Bermuda.
Google shifted $23 billion to a tax haven in Bermuda in 2017, according to this filing. Now, remember Ireland, Apple's not doing so well with Ireland, so Google's like, So it's Bermuda, the new hotness in tax. Well,
Bermuda was always the Irish double Dutch sandwich destination.
Yeah, I think recording, I know Bjork, I think she does Bermuda. She'll record albums there for tax purposes.
But
I
think
how that works. But
Ireland is out of the picture now, right? I don't think they're allowed to do it anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but they're fighting it, but yeah.
But the Dutch are still in the game. So, to the tune of $23 billion.
Depending on how things go for Ireland, it might not go well for the Dutch. I don't know.
Well, listen, make hay while the sun shines, I guess. $23 billion is pretty good. You probably get a pretty good commission for that. Well, the other thing that Alphabet has done that we've actually talked about before are their loon balloons. Do you think they use 99 of them?
99 loon balloons. That's our title for this week.
But
if we remember.
They perfected this technology. We talked about that before, where they're able to sort of ride the winds. And they're actually going to use it in a commercial environment.
Kenya. Kenya has a huge percentage of their population has cell phones. And they use that for all their communications, hospitals, everything. So this floating equipment prevents the need for extensive infrastructure on the ground. And they talk about how they've gotten so good with positioning these balloons as part of Project Loon that they can launch them from, like, New Zealand or Australia and pilot them into place and keep them there.
I think they launch them, like, they are not, it's more expensive to fly them to Kenya, so they're launching them from Puerto Rico.
Yeah. I mean,
they're just flying them over there. Yeah. Which is, I mean, you're riding the wind, right? So it's free energy, I guess.
No, well, they had like a solar panel on there too, so they're solar powered balloons. That they,
well, I think
that, I wonder how you collect them, or it's like, oh, this one's failing, let's get it back.
Well, you just
they probably don't care about that.
First, you deflate that,
the bladder.
The bladder, so it sinks, right? Then you go and get it. And then remember the I can't remember what the product was. It was some kind of balloon they were using for research. And those Africans would, like, follow them and steal and the steal SIM the cards. SIM card.
Nice.
Well, we talked about, the veins in your hand being a biometric. And now we've got all this, radar-based interface. So what's next? Lasers.
Sony promises better face identification through depth-sensing lasers. So the production is set to ramp in late summer 2019, just in time for a deluge of new Android and Apple devices. So they want to take face recognition in devices to the next level and, have an even more accurate 3D map of your face that's used for unlocking. Has nobody seen the 3D printed head unlocked? Because that's a thing.
Well, we were talking about it before, and Ryan was like, it's kind of like how Bat uses echolocation. I like to imagine in that world where, like, you go to unlock your phone and your phone just screeches at you. It gets like a 3D.
I don't know why, but it's like, oh, log into Facebook, and I'm picturing a picture of Mark Zuckerberg, and he opens his mouth, and then it does like the bat echolocation, and it's like, yep, it's you.
Oh, yeah, but it has to be like a really high pitched, like a ree.
But it's interesting that you say that, because one of the limitations with current facial recognition is they need a certain light level to see you. But this doesn't require that.
Yeah. Well, Windows Hello uses an infrared illuminator to combat that problem.
So it's all lasers from now on, or at least if Sony has their way. I was surprised by this. Krista wasn't, which I don't know. I guess she's more in touch with the UK market than I am. But if you told me this, I'd be like, really?
Video games now account for more than half of the UK entertainment market.
I don't know why I wasn't surprised at that. Maybe it's because there's a lot of the gaming YouTubers I watch are from the UK. Maybe that's why.
But movies and music together. So movies and music together do not add up to the gaming revenue in the UK.
I'm not surprised by that.
And they talk about how Spotify and Netflix have taken over, like just completely taken over those streaming services or movie and music services in general.
You know the other crazy thing about this? It only counts first sale. Yeah. It doesn't, like, Fortnite isn't even factored into this.
Yeah, or DLC or any after-the-fact purchases.
Oh, yeah.
So
gotta have that skin, so that loot box.
This is a worst-case scenario. So it's definitely, it was probably already true that online entertainment expenses were already, far exceeding whatever a long time ago. Now it's, there's no matter how you count it.
And you know who's really stinging from that? The music industry. Because they were solidly in control, and now they're nothing.
They're feeling that salt.
And they've never been less than they are right now.
Yeah, album sales are dying as fast as streaming services are rising, according to the Rolling Stone. Music consumption shot up in 2018, no thanks to album or song sales.
Nobody. So when you count individual downloads, I think like 17 people in 2017 had over a million. Nobody in 2018.
Wow.
Not even Eminem had a big album. Taylor Swift had a big album. There's all those rappers that I don't even know who they are. Drake was big, right?
I don't know if it's a traditional album or not, but Weird Al did really well.
I don't think Weird Al is...
I don't think he's quite the same level.
He's not on Taylor Swift's level.
No.
I know in your world, he stands alone at the top of the music
pyramid.
He's
not everywhere else. Everyone in the comments should tell me whether or not I should buy a Spotify account. I've been considering it. It's kind of expensive,
though. You don't even have Netflix.
Not anymore. And now it's like, well, that money's burning a hole in my pocket.
How much is Spotify?
I think it's like $10 a month. I've been considering it.
Google Music... I think they actually raised theirs. It might be like 10 now as well.
Yeah.
But you also get YouTube Premium with that.
That's true. I don't know. I'll have to think about it. I've been considering it because right now I use YouTube Playlists, which is like fine, but it'd be nice to have.
If does your car have Bluetooth?
I don't think so.
But it's got the aux cable, right?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Of course, you are a bit of a data hog.
Never am a little bit. It's a bad habit.
Well, speaking of cars and the operating systems within them, you know what I'm not crazy about is Android Auto.
Yeah.
It's a little, the UI is very clumsy.
There might be updates for it. Have you tried, telling it to update the thing?
No, I've got the latest one. Hmm. I mean,
it's just bad.
The stuff in the car doesn't matter. It runs off the phone.
Oh, okay.
It just casts it to the screen in the car.
Well, that's a good way to do it.
But it's a clumsy UI, and I guess it's made for maybe a little bit smaller screens. But anyway,
Krista, you should design some new ones.
I'd have to really work on it though. You can't just design; you have to spend time with it.
The other thing is, it's designed to keep you from fiddling too much, so you don't run into things.
Oh yeah.
So you can only go with existing playlists. You can't just search for music or something like that. Anyway, all this to lead up to the idea that cars need operating systems. They need interfaces, and this is not something that's going to change. So who's going to be the operating system in the car? And the news is pretty good.
It's the year of the Linux.
The penguin-powered car.
Car. Yeah, it's a Linux-powered car. It's not just Tesla with Linux under the hood. Audi, Mercedes-Benz, Hyundai, and Toyota, to name a few, all rely on Linux. So the ZDNet article is pretty interesting. It's written for people that don't necessarily know all that much about Linux yet. But Linux, it turns out, is a very versatile operating system. It might not, people might not like using it as a desktop operating system in general, but gosh darn it, making appliances that run on Linux is the best thing ever.
You can't really make his little wings dab. They're not long enough.
That's the curse of the penguin.
Yeah.
You know, I've been trying to find somewhere that can make us those.
So we can put them in the store. We cannot find anyone.
At a reasonable price, and it's just...
You know, that would be a great children's book. Would be a T-Rex... Who's sad because they can't dab.
Well, your mom wanted to get into that, right? You could send that idea to her.
That's too edgy for her. Well, we've talked about...
What's dabbing?
We talked about China.
Explain that.
And their hatred for Apple. And they do bitterly hate Apple with all of the, the political espionage and the
I think the
arrests.
Hatred is very recent, let's be honest.
Well, they've always...
They've been kind of friendly.
They've never liked them, but now it's gotten serious. Yeah. And Huawei, of course, is at the heart of that. And a marketing company that they hired did something very bad.
The Chinese phone maker Huawei punishes employees for iPhone tweet blunders. So this marketing agency was set to do all the stuff, make some Twitter posts. So
it was a New Year's Eve Twitter post. Very important.
The timing.
Yeah, it's got to be right on... the stroke of midnight.
So the marketing folks say something went wrong with their network and they weren't able to tweet using the Huawei devices because, they tweeted from an iPhone?
Because of the Great Firewall.
Because
you're not supposed to tweet in China.
Well, they tweeted from an iPhone and they didn't realize that in certain Twitter clients you can see what they tweeted from. And so it's like, blah, 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 Huawei. Twitter for iPhone. It's like,
oh.
Huawei was very mad.
Yeah. I can imagine, the high-ranking people, they were drinking their champagne and their high-rise
veins burst out of their neck.
And they're like, oh, yes, let's check and see if the peasants have made the tweet. And then that just ruined their entire year. But, yeah.
Cut off his pinky.
They talked about... The agency itself, of course, Huawei was heads must roll. And the agency was like, yes, they will. They cut the salary of the guy who actually physically pushed the button by $700 a month. And they locked his manager is locked into his current pay grade for all of 2019. He can't get a raise.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Well, they're serious. I mean, you know not to make that mistake again.
I suspect that company will, as long as they have that contract, which who knows how long that'll be, you will not be using iPhones.
Yeah.
Just to make sure. Well, we talked about the music industry, and the music industry is dying at about the same rate as the cable industry. So all the big cable companies, of course, everybody hates them. They have terrible customer service. The commercial television, I just can't watch it.
Yeah.
It's horrendous.
It's so loud.
Nobody wants it. And so they have an interesting plan to combat this.
Bloomberg has the article, Comcast, Dish, and AT&T are raising TV prices to counter cord cutting. Now, when three, quote-unquote, competing companies all raise their prices at the same time, how is that not investigated as collusion?
It's the sport channels, they say. Those evil sport channels want too much money.
People don't want our service. How do we make sure we make a profit? Well, raise the price on the service we don't want.
No, it's this attitude of like, look, I'm entitled to this profit. And we only have half as many subscribers now. So you other half, you're going to pay twice as much because we will not make less money. These are the people that are in charge of our communications infrastructure. Rest assured, they will exploit that control in order to claw back more profits.
As long as they can. Of course, as we've seen with the music industry, that hits a tipping point, and then the fall is almost immediate.
One can only hope.
I'd say another, like, you know, two generations has to die before we hit that
point. I really don't want to campaign for, like, government-owned and controlled communications infrastructure, but good Lord, this is a capitalistic nightmare.
Well,
it's not really capitalism, though, because, like, capitalism tells you if you have something people don't want, and you're charging too much for it, you lower the price, not raise it.
Commercial TV, I think we just let it die.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bleeding out.
Well, if it were capitalistic, wouldn't one of the three at least be like, nah, we're going to lower our prices to get people that don't want your price raises? I mean, you would think that at least one of them would do that if it were capitalistic.
Yeah, but they also have the media companies attached to them.
Yeah.
So they're bleeding out, like their arm's bleeding out, but they're getting a transfusion on another limb. And so
this control of our communication infrastructure is really something that keeps me awake at night.
Now, Krista, one thing I know about you is that when it comes to responsible sleep habits and punctuality, you are at the top of your game.
It's a struggle for me to sleep ever. And when I do go to sleep, I struggle to stay asleep.
ZDNet has the headline.
Tired tech workers lose 27 hours of sleep per month. I don't think mine's quite that high, but...
I think we could probably confirm that.
Yeah. I don't know if mine's that high.
Yours is maybe that high just from...
Overwatch.
No. I go to bed at reasonable hours. I just wake up a lot. Like, I don't sleep the way I should. I don't know why that is. I probably have, like, sleep apnea or something, but undiagnosed.
So, yeah, they talk about how it's very common in a lot of industries... That people just, you know, they don't sleep.
Well, healthcare, so, like, it mentions healthcare in, like, the sub-headline. That makes sense.
That makes a lot more sense.
You wouldn't think tech, but, I mean,
that
seems to be a common thing in our office.
Yeah, but they do. The tech does have weird hour demands sometimes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, something goes down at midnight.
We must launch at midnight.
No one cares.
Well, it's generally you'll get a big gaming crisis story. About once a month, maybe more than that. Yeah, well, when Bethesda releases a game.
Yeah. Fallout is like every week.
This is more of an indie darling, and it's rarer that you get this kind of drama with an indie darling.
Star Control Origins has been removed from Steam and Good Old Games following a DMCA claim. So the legal battle between Starduck, the people that... Starduck acquired some IP rights from Atari, and the original Starduck series creators, Fred Ford and Paul Ritchie, has escalated. So, I don't know. I don't know what to make of this.
Well, it seems like they bought the rights to the name, but not necessarily to the individual assets, like the ship designs.
I think their argument is going to be that they bought whatever rights Atari had, and Atari had more rights than just... I think their theory is that Atari had more rights than just that. But I do think that it is clear that Atari did not have the full rights to Star Control 1 and 2.
Do you think that they told them when they made the contract, or they're just like, well, if they're not going to ask, we're not going to tell
them? Well, that was one of the things about it, is the judge ruled they had already had these discussions. So they knew very well that these guys were contesting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And so the judge was saying, well, because they were contesting it and you didn't do something about it then...
Yeah, that's kind of on you if you enter a bad contract like that.
And that kind of makes sense, because... If you were buying stuff from Atari, and Atari was like, yeah, you can just buy all this stuff from our catalog, it's great, and basically everything
is... conditions apply.
Yeah, basically everything follows these rights, and then you start doing your homework, and it's like, well, the rights for this game are different than the rights for this game. You would go back to Atari and say, hey, what's up? You know, what's going on? But by then, the deal was long since done. So I'd say that, I mean, it looks like these two people outside of Stardock have a pretty good case.
We'll see. Both sides are saying that they're in the right. So it's... The DMCA did go through. They took the game down, but they have not conceded that they're saying they're going to put it back up. So
on their own website.
Well, Tesla.
The subsidies have ended. Not really. They're like,
well, they're declining.
A tier has fallen off as of January 1st. I think it's something like $2,500.
$3,750.
Was it that much?
I think it was.
No, I think that's what's left.
$3,850 is what's left. Oh, okay.
You lost like $2,000.
Oh, okay.
So what are they going to do about it? Well, maybe depending on where you stand, the right thing.
Tesla is going to cut prices to combat the tax credit phase-out. Now, this is really interesting. Now, this article, I don't think, mentions it, but in the run-up to December 31st, Tesla dealers were open until midnight to try to get some stragglers in to, you know, buy and take delivery of their cars. And I don't think as many people took Tesla up on that as they would have liked.
No.
We'll find out in the quarterly earnings report.
No, I think they've already announced that the sales were less than expected. And now, of course,
Wall Street's upset.
Add $2,500 to that, so they had to do something. But yeah, the investors are looking at this and they're saying, oh, wait a minute.
Now,
you got to make money. How are you? No. Profit. We need profit.
Now, if Tesla is also going to ramp up for like a new model, the Model Y or whatever,
the $3,500 one.
Yeah, so aren't they just going to immediately go back like hard into the red?
Yeah, because I think they lose a little bit with every one of those, right?
Yeah.
And plus, I don't know if they're going to cut those to 2,000. But at the end of 2019, that's the end of all the subsidies.
Yeah.
So you got a year.
You got until July, and it goes down again in July.
And of course, they also mentioned this will be the year when other car makers will bring electrics onto the market.
Yeah. Well, Faraday, not so much Faraday Futures. Wow.
I don't think they were ever really a threat.
That was a story last.
I think Mercedes. And is Toyota doing one?
No, the Mercedes, the preliminary reports on the Mercedes were not impressive.
But several other companies do have electrics that are rolling out. So, well, switching over to social media, I don't know what CNN was thinking, because they seem to use gender as something other than a social construct.
No, I would say this is definitely a social construct. Link between social media and depression stronger in teen girls than boys, study says. This is not surprising to me.
Who says what's a boy or a girl? How do you measure this?
It's a little early to be imposing gender roles on it, don't you think?
I think girls are socialized typically to be a little more pleasing, like people pleasing, and to value people's opinions a little bit more, and girls tend to share a little bit more on social media, so you're comparing yourself more.
They tend to be hyper-competitive with one another?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's sort of what they came to as a conclusion, is that it's not just the gender makes you choose different kinds of social media. And teen girls tend to focus on pictures.
Yeah.
Of themselves and others.
And she's got prettier clothes, or her makeup's prettier, or she had her hair done nicely.
Yeah, or she has things that I can't afford.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big one.
Whereas boys' social media use was not so much about pictures.
I would think, I don't really know. Like, none of my younger boy cousins are really into social media, but I could see, like, maybe having, like, a gaming group or something, and it's all about your, like, performance, your KD ratio.
Oh, my God. You want to have a few more stereotypes here, Kristen?
I'm just throwing it out here.
That's probably going to get us demonetized.
As a teen boy, what were you concerned about socially?
Or currently. Well, there might be a few teen boys in that audience.
Engagement challenge.
Well, I was asking you guys. You guys were teen boys at one time.
Well, we weren't.
I was damaged goods.
We weren't that demographic. Yeah.
No, not even close.
I didn't care about social norms at all.
Didn't know.
Social ladder.
I had no idea it was a thing.
I was super excited about the Voodoo 2. Team Fortress was big.
Oh, yeah, Team world. Fortress, I remember.
I was early, so, like, I was alone. There was nobody else. Technology had not caught on, and so most people were just like, what's a computer?
And Magic the Gathering for a short, horrible window.
Oh, yeah, I had that bug, too. That was bad.
I never played it, but lots of guys in my friend group played it, and I was like, I don't understand.
At one point, I was on the academic team solely to just play Magic on Saturdays.
We were on ICQ, though.
Oh, yeah.
ICQ was a little before my time. Some other guys in the office talk about ICQ fondly, though.
I was using Talk And it was like, just get a talk daemon for Windows. You know, it's fine.
And the, you know, the bulletin boards, which is like the furthest thing from Facebook that can possibly exist.
Yeah.
Well, how about, remember the big, was it GoFundMe that the homeless guy and the couple they used?
Oh, they yes. defrauded every, I think yep. it was GoFundMe.
So that turned out they gave all that money back. GoFundMe refunded all that money because yeah. it was such a scam. Well, it turns out that's not the only scams that people are very much aware of on GoFundMe.
Yeah, GoFundMe is still enabling garbage cancer treatment scams. So the story here is not that people in America need to get their cancer treatment on GoFundMe. It is that they're going to get their cancer treatment through homeopathic means because they're scared of the expense of
the doctor,
the real treatment, or someone has convinced them that homeopathic medicine works.
Krista, rate this stock photo.
It's fine. It gets the point across.
That looks like real medicine as opposed to homeopathic medicine.
But would you use corks
to close that up? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess not.
Some of the mushrooming stuff I've been into, they're like, oh, this has been proven to treat cancer. I'm like, no, it's been proven to boost your immunity. So it's good when taken with Western medicine and your immune system's destroyed to take it, you know, drink a tea with your chemotherapy. But
I bet
it's like people don't understand that nuance.
I bet they love hearing that, don't they?
Yeah, people really love hearing that. Well, why can't they work together? Why is that doing
it? I think a lot of the critique of some of these things is, you know, it's a sob story.
Yeah.
But it really is someone with cancer, but they're not necessarily telling me that they're not using that money for recognized cancer
medicine.
Treatments.
Yeah.
They're using the stuff that's basically water. And you might not be as quick to donate to that if you knew that.
Yeah. Mm.
Well,
speaking of things, you might not be so quick to something money.
Yeah, I cannot I can't quantify my idea of what my number would be for my Facebook account because it's zero.
How much would they have to pay to use Facebook? Like, I guess that would be a negative number. Yeah.
You'd have to pay me just to.
Yeah, that's
okay.
What I'm saying.
I would, once a week, I'd log in for $1,000.
Ars Technica has the economists calculate the true value of Facebook's to its user in a new study. Some users required more than $1,000 a year to deactivate their account.
So these guys did auctions. And there were two groups. One group did short amounts of time, like a day or a week. The other group did a year or more, I think. So they would have this auction. I think it was students they were always working with. And I was like, hey, we will pay you to stop using Facebook for a year. And it was like a reverse auction where the lowest value got the money. And then you actually had to delete your Facebook in front of them and then they would pay you. So it gave them a real, it's like, you can imagine a starving college student, $1,000. So yeah, most of the time somebody would undercut and be like, listen, I'll do it for $500. That easy, no problem. But it still showed you that there wasn't somebody who went so far under 500 that the average wasn't $1,000.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
There were, like, the daily auctions was like $3, $4, $5 for the daily auctions. But
weeks got into like 15.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Here's why I don't think this means anything. The value of Facebook is that other people are there.
Yeah.
If everybody got this offer, then everybody would leave Facebook and get the money and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
You'd have to get in early. This would be like, invest early or Facebook value, your account value is going to be nothing.
Well, you know, I think we're onto something with that because we talked about that a little bit with Twitter. And it's like, how complicated is it to set up a 144 character thing? And a lot of people are annoyed with Twitter. And so there's a lot of really interesting open source projects out there that
no one on them.
That are looking through. Well, I mean, that's true, but that might change. Facebook is a little more complicated than Twitter, but not as complicated as, say, YouTube with like the video hosting and stuff. So it's probably somewhere in the middle.
But also, I think people would, in many cases, prefer a Facebook that didn't have all the crap.
Yeah.
So you could get away with cutting a lot of that fat.
Like the video that follows you down when you scroll. Hate that.
Oh, every news website does that, and that's
just, or the ad, or it's just who thought also, that was a good idea? Who thought terrible. That's effective?
You ever,
it's
annoying. You ever try to look at a Facebook page when you're not logged into Facebook?
Oh yeah, it's just
because like the gun range that I go to, they do all their stuff on Facebook, so I have to check and see if they're going to be closed for weather or whatever. And then when you scroll down, it pops up.
It says, hey, you're not logged in.
It's like, oh, you want to log in? And then you click no, and then it just like covers the bottom third of the screen. Until you scroll down a little bit more, and then it pops back up there. It's like, oh, you're not logged in. Did we mention that?
At least theirs is open. Like, I'm in a few groups where, like, if you're not logged in, you can't see anything.
Somewhere there's a web developer that's just weeping quietly as they implement that at management's orders.
Yeah, there's probably some designers like, I really didn't want to do this, but they told me I had to.
Well, let's switch over to the design portion of the day. And when we talked about color-changing clothing, I wasn't very excited.
Yeah, it's not that exciting. There's not really a lot of use cases for that.
This is a little bit more exciting. This, I think, will have a lot more uses, and some of them that we're certainly not thinking about yet.
The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office has granted Apple, of all people, a new patent for fabric that could be applied to clothing, furniture, etc.
And it would change textures and things like that. So, like, you could interact with it in some way, and it would change, and you'd be able to tell what you were holding or...
Yeah.
What was the scenario they talked about?
Remote control pillow.
Yes, that's it. I just couldn't remember what it was. Was it a pillow or a shirt or...
It would just be a pillow until you squeezed it at a certain point, and then it would transform the face of the pillow into a remote that you could visually see the buttons, but also you could feel them being different.
So, if it's in the dark, you wouldn't have to, like... squint at it.
Which is kind of cool. They also talked about clothing that could maybe react to rain, for example, and change its texture to be more rainproof. So it could be cool, but I imagine, like the color changing stuff, batteries are always going to be the problem here.
Yeah. So that could be an amazing like performance fabric for hiking if you could do something that reacts to rain, but the weight there would probably be a big prohibitive.
And finally, the biggest news of the year.
I'm disappointed in this story because the stock photo...
It's kind of misleading.
It's not actually the thing.
Google Chrome dark mode confirmed for Windows 10 to channel your inner Darth Vader. So
what a terrible... Yeah. Who was that? Paul Lilly? Come on.
It's not even the recent Chrome that has the square tabs. It's just the old school... Like, this is just shopped.
It's dark UI it's on YouTube.
This is the YouTube dark mode. But this part of the browser,
the actual URL bar and stuff.
Well, now, it's funny though because on Windows 10 has a dark mode, and so you can get like the controls and stuff. But like some of the other stuff, because Chrome like it's custom, so like Chrome stuff is still light colored. So, but with Windows 10, you can totally do the Windows 10 dark mode, and it's fine.
But Google Chrome, that's something everyone's been complaining about forever, is getting a dark mode in Chrome. That'll be nice.
It seems so easy, because they mentioned here the incognito one is darker.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
They could have done this to beat Apple. It's all Apple, because Mojave added the dark mode, so now everybody's like, oh, Apple has dark mode. We must have dark mode, too.
YouTube's had dark mode forever.
Not that long.
Yeah.
Really? I feel like I've had it equipped forever.
You get to have a browser plugin.
Used to use the Firefox plugin, which...
No, I have it like... It's actually like a toggle in the menu bar. Like, they've had that for a long time. No, but that's
recent. I used to have extensive Grease Monkey scripts for retooling the web to be exactly the way that I wanted, but... They don't work anymore.
Yeah. Maybe it's been like at least a year, I think, on YouTube that you can do dark mode.
That's a relatively short amount of time, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, in tech, that's not.
Yeah. All right. What do we got coming up Friday? Robots.
Nonsense.
Yeah, nonsense.
I feel like maybe one other thing, maybe not.
I don't remember. We were kind of out of order this week. Like,
well, it was a weird breakup of stories, but we got a lot of robot news tomorrow.
And a lot of nonsense.
That's on Friday, not tomorrow. I'm sorry.
Woo.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to do a correction. I will do the correction at the beginning of Friday's news.
Ooh, something to look forward to.